drop by, you're completely unaware of it. Because you're in a fucking coma. And you're practically clinically dead. And you don't have to listen to their stupid shit. Their stupid shit, like about their new ride-around lawnmower with the two-tone horn and the GPS in case they get lost on the lawn. And their boss and their job and their car and their kids. Jesus fucking Christ. Their kids. Folks, nothing worse. Nothing worse than to be stuck somewhere with some married asshole and have to listen to him tell you about his fucking kids. Let me tell you something, folks. Nobody cares about your children, okay? Nobody cares about your children. I speak for everyone. I've been appointed by the rest of the group to inform you we don't care about your children. That's why they're your children. So you can care about them and we don't have to bother. But they tell you anyway. Todd is in the seventh grade now. He's in the cheese club. Giselle is five and already she's had nine periods. Johan is 11 and he pretty much sits around the house hallucinating all the time. Then they want to show you the pictures. Here's another ordeal. The pictures of these little gargoyles that they have loosed from their loins. A lot of these professional mommies, boy, they think there's nothing better than having a baby. Oh, they think it's the biggest thing in the world, like it's a big event, having a baby. I call it pumping out a unit. That's all they're doing. That's all they're doing, pumping out a fucking unit. Boom. Boom. Like, some of them like assembly lines, like a factory. Boom. Every fucking year. Boom. Hey, Jeff, want a kid? How about twins? Polluting the earth. Polluting the earth with these creatures who have no future. They have no future. Have you pictured what this planet is going to be like in 40 to 50 years? It's going to be a big smoking ball of shit. A big, smoking, flaming, stinking ball of gaseous shit. That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. It's irresponsible to have more than one child. Have one. Have one child. Replacement value for yourself. That's all. Don't even replace your husband. Don't replace your husband. No. He's done enough fucking damage as it is. But they want to show you the pictures. Sometimes they warn you, you know, that's good. They say, hey, you want to see some pictures of my kid? No. Just describe them to me. But they show you, and there are two ways you can handle it. I have found two ways to handle the pictures. The first is the easy way. You just kind of take it all in stride, matter-of-factly, go along with the game. Oh, huh? Boy. Mm. Girl. Yeah. Older boy. Older girl. Good. Four. Listen, I have to go wash my crotch. I'll see you later. And you get the fuck out of there. Or you can do what I do. You can do what I do. Be a little honest about what you see. Take a chance. Tell the truth. Look at the fucking head on that kid. Jesus, where'd he get a fucking head like that? Holy, that thing is huge. Have you put him on YouTube yet? Boy, you get a lot of hits with a head like that. Or put him on eBay. You might make a little money, you know? I'm sure some European circus would snap his ass up in a fucking minute, boy. God damn, that thing is unusual. Listen, maybe he'll grow into it. You never know with kids, huh? Hey, let me ask you a practical question. Where do you find hats for a kid like that? Tell the truth. Don't be bullshitting people. Don't be bullshitting. There's enough bullshit as it is, folks. There's plenty of bullshit. Then they want to show you the pictures of the little girl whose second teeth are coming in. And they think it's cute. It's not. It's fucking horrifying. Did you ever look at the teeth on somebody's kids? Did you ever take a good close look in the mouth? You ever look in there, see what's going on? Sometimes several rows of fucking teeth coming in. Coming in at all funny angles. There's one under the tooth. That's an under the tongue. That's an unusual place for a tooth. A sublingual tooth. My God, look at that. Once again, tell the truth. You better start saving your money right now, pal. It's going to cost you a fucking fortune to fix that. You're going to need an international team of orthodontists around the clock just to make it done. You might want to call FEMA. That looks like a real fucking problem. Look at that. You have the number of the National Guard. Give them a ring. That's good. Listen, why don't you just have them all pulled and let her start over again, you know? Or take a picture of her with her mouth closed. That would save you a lot of heartache in the long run. Listen, you're not Catholic by any chance, are you? Well, the reason I ask you is you might want to take her to Lourdes and pray for a miracle over there. So you know what I've been doing? Going through my address book and crossing out the dead people. You do that? That's a lot of fun, isn't it? Gives you a good feeling. Kind of gives you a feeling of power. A superiority to have outlasted another old friend. But you can't do it too soon, you know? You can't do it too soon. You can't come running home from the funeral and get the book out, you know, and be looking through the book. You can't do that. A little time has to pass. You have to let a little time go by. I have a rule of thumb, 6 weeks. If you're a friend of mine and you're in my book and you die, I leave you alone for an extra 6 weeks. 6 extra weeks in the book on the house, it's on me. Now, speaking of dead people, there are things we say when someone dies. Most of us say, a lot of us do. Things we say that no one ever questions. They just kind of go unexamined. Give you a couple examples. After someone dies, the following conversation is bound to take place, probably more than once. Two guys meet on the street. Hey, did you hear? Phil Davis died. Phil Davis? I just saw him yesterday. Yeah. Didn't help. He died anyway. Apparently, the simple act of your seeing him did not slow his cancer down. In fact, it may have made it more aggressive. You know, you could be responsible for Phil's death. How do you live with yourself? Here's another thing they say after a death. This is usually said to the surviving spouse. Listen, if there's anything I can do, anything at all, please don't hesitate to ask. What are you going to do, a resurrection? This ain't the fucking New Testament, you know. You know what you tell a guy like that who wants to help? Oh, fine, why don't you come over this weekend? You can paint the garage. Bring your plunger. The upstairs toilet overflowed and there's shit all over the floor up there. You drive a tractor? Good, that'll come in handy. The North 40 needs a lot of attention. Bring your chainsaw and your pickaxe. We're going to put your ass to work. He wants to help? Fuck him. Call his bluff. Call his bluff. Don't hesitate to ask. The nerve of these pricks. Here's another thing we say to the surviving spouse. I'm keeping him in my thoughts. Where? Where exactly in your thoughts does he fit? In between my ass hurts in this chair and let's fuck the waitress? What are your priorities? We use a lot of euphemisms when we talk about death, you know? People say things like, you know, I lost my father. Ah, he'll turn up. You gotta stay optimistic with people like that. Give them reason to hope. Have you checked the dumpster out back? They used to like to take a nap in there. Keep it upbeat. Now, There's something else that is said after a death, but this one involves belief, which is where I begin to have big problems. This one happens after the funeral, after the burial, back at the house. Back at the house where the family and friends and the loved ones of the deceased are having some food and drink and enjoying some warm reminiscences of the person who passed away. Sooner or later, someone is bound to say the following, especially after a few drinks. You know, I think he's up there now, smiling down at us. And I think he's pleased. Now, first of all, there is no up there. No. For people to be smiling down from. It's poetic, it's quaint, and I guess for superstitious people it provides a little comfort, but it doesn't exist. But if it did, and if someone did somehow survive death in a non-physical form, I personally think he'd be far too busy with other celestial activities than to be standing around paradise, smiling down. On live people. What kind of a fucking eternity is that? And why is it no one ever says, I think he's down there now, smiling up at us? Apparently it never occurs to people that their loved ones might be in hell. Your parents could be in hell right now. Your parents in hell. Your father for sure. Oh shit, hell is full of dads. Full of dads, even the ones who took you to the ball game, just for beating the shit out of you once too often, and fucking the neighbor lady, and fucking the neighbor dog, and who knows, maybe even fucking the UPS man. We'll never know what mischief dad was up to. Parents in hell, excuse me. Kind of gives me a nice feeling, you know? Grandparents in hell. Picture that. Picture your grandmother in hell. Baking pies without an oven. And if someone were in hell, I doubt very seriously he'd be smiling. I think he's down there now, screaming up at us. And I think he's in severe pain. Now, speaking of dead people in heaven, there are some people who not only believe that their dead parents in heaven can see them. Okay? They honestly believe that their dead parents in heaven can help them. You've heard these people, I'm sure. They honestly somehow believe that their dead parents in heaven can intercede with God on their behalf to gain favors for the living. I come from a Catholic home. I heard this shit. They sit there in the chair with the fucking rosary and they look at you like this, you know, and they say, oh, my dad was looking out for me. He was looking out. I don't know how he got me out of that jam, but he got me out. Oh, my mom was in surgery with me. She was in, I could feel her presence in there. Yeah. Fine. Like the people who die have nothing better to do than to run the heavenly branch of the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Now, if people want to believe this kind of stuff, it's fine with me. Let them believe it. I don't want to disabuse anyone of their beliefs. But I have a question about this. A question that involves logic. Let's suppose it's true. Let's allow the proposition that somehow dead parents in heaven can help their living children. Fine. So, We got a family living on Earth, father and mother and four kids, family of six, good family, nice family, doing all the right things, having a good time, making all the right moves. And the parents go away on a weekend trip and get killed in an accident. And the children, of course, survive. So now, according to this theory, these two people go to heaven and they start helping their four living children, helping them with everything they need, helping them with their science projects, with their SAT scores, helping them get a good school and get a nice job and get a promotion and a raise and someone to marry, and they all grow up. These four kids now grow up and have children of their own. And let's say that all four of these now grown children also die at the same time. Just for the sake of argument. Let's say there's an explosion at Thanksgiving dinner. And these four die, but their children survive because they were seated at the children's table. So now, according to the theory, these four go to heaven and they start helping their living children. But what happens to the original two? What happens to the grandparents? Do they just go off duty now? What do they do? Is there a retirement program up there? Are there some activities for these people? Shuffleboard, pinball, online poker? There must be something they can do. Or do they have to remain on duty indefinitely? Do they have to keep on helping their living descendants forever and ever and ever? Is that what heaven's all about, helping the living? When do you get to just lie back on a cloud and take a fucking harp lesson? You know what I mean?
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.